that song that we just sang. I don't know if you ever noticed this in our hymnal. They have a Bible verse at the top of each of the hymns, each of the songs in there, which I like. That's kind of backwards of what I do. And I want to give you some things concerning prayer tonight. And to me, I ask God and have for a long time, God, give me a song every day when I get into this book. And I get a song from the book instead of getting a verse from the song. In fact, the psalm that was talking about is Psalm 46. I was going to make mention of that tonight. Well, I'm just going to read. I'll read most of it. I don't know. We'll read the whole thing. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, a holy place for the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Now look at verse number 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. My Father, I pray that you would teach us to pray. Help us to never be so foolish to think that we know all there is to know about prayer. God, we're just beginners. I don't know if we're ready to start kindergarten in the school of prayer yet. God, I've been begging you for some time and for some things in my life, and most of all, Lord, teach me to pray. And I just want to take a journey with your people for coming months on prayer and developing a strong prayer life and a praying church. And to take this prayer journey, God, we're asking you to guide along the way. We're asking you to be our instructor and us to be listening, attentive students. Blessed now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God, I gave you a handout there. I hope that you have got a copy of it. And this is just, this is like looking at the table of contents in the first chapter of a book. This is not by any means thorough, but let me just say some things about prayer, first of all. And I wrote them down there for you because I want to make sure you get this and take it home. And you can read it along in your paper there. Follow along. It says, prayer is not a magic formula. It's not a rigid formality or a religious duty. How often we say, well, I need to pray because I'm supposed to pray. That's a religious duty. Prayer is simply a time of personal fellowship with our loving God and Savior. This is a place where God transforms us into His image. I suggest spending time in the Bible first, not just reading the Bible, but studying the Bible, digging into the Bible, memorizing Scripture. Any time spent in the Bible should start with a simple prayer, similar to what David prayed in Psalm 119 and verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And we're going to look at some things concerning prayer in the Bible. And I want you to turn your Bible to Luke chapter number 11, and you'll recognize these verses right away. Luke chapter number 11, and two different places in the Bible, we see a parallel passage in two of the Gospels. And the first, well, the second one, we see it. We're going to take them in reverse order. Luke chapter number 11. And I want you to see the difference here in these two recordings given to us by God. And by the way, when you read the Bible, realize that this is not everything that Jesus said. This is not everything that the disciples did. This is not even everything that they wrote. But this is what God inspired them to write and preserved it for us today. And this is enough for us to get by. We don't need everything else, but we do need this book. Luke chapter number 11, it says, "And it came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place." It's easy to read over that. As Jesus was praying, when he ceased, when he finished, I wonder how long they were waiting for him to get done. I imagine they probably could have gone to lunch and back. Wouldn't surprise me if they could have taken an afternoon nap and gone to supper and back, and he's still not done yet. "But when he had ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray." That ought to be our prayer. "As John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father." Now, again, we point out often, as Bible believers, this is not a prayer. This is a lesson on prayer. He said, when ye pray, say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive also everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is shut, and my children are in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity will he rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be open." And we're going to stop there. There's a lot of things that Jesus said about prayer. And I'm just going to go back now to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. I actually read farther than I planned on there because it was so good I just couldn't stop. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew 6 and beginning in verse number 5. In fact, I want to go all the way back through chapter 5 and all the way down through Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. To get all of this, but just for the sake of time, Matthew chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 5, he says, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do." I often thought we should have started when we chanted what we call the Lord's Prayer in the church I grew up in. We should have started in verse number 7 instead of down a little bit farther. To use not vain repetitions, because that's all it really was. And the reality is, when we listen to ourselves pray, we'll be surprised how much vain repetition there is in our prayer. "As the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast," not if, but when ye fast, "be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, and they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not to men to fast, but to thy Father which seeth in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Oftentimes people say, well, what does fasting have to do? Well, when you understand what prayer is, you'll understand what fasting is all about. When you realize that your prayer is so important and there's so much on the line, and you're so earnestly desiring something in prayer, all of a sudden the things of this world, including food, if you can believe that, become something that you're no longer interested in. It's kind of like when you lose a loved one and you're in the process of grieving and you can't think about eating. When you're seeking God and in prayer, you can't think about eating in times like that. You're so earnest in your desire to meet Him. And oh, we need to get back to not only praying, but fasting. And serious, sober-minded praying. We ought to know what it is to pray. And this outline I'm going to give you is really just a simple outline of the Sermon on the Mount. I came across, in fact, at the conference this week, we were given in our notebook a section on prayer. And I've been looking through that and studying some things in there. And much of what I'm saying, and I'm getting it straight from the Lord's Prayer here, is the same thing. In fact, I thought of just making a copy, but it was so many pages. I don't know if I could wear out a copy machine giving you all a copy of it. So I'm just going to give you a brief outline here. But prayer, we ought to know what it is to have sacred seasons of prayer, not just daily prayer. Getting up well before the day, like Jesus, and seeking Him to start the day. But we ought to have holy days set up. That's where the name holiday came from. Holiday is not a time for family picnics and family get-togethers. Holidays are holy days where we get alone with God. Sad to say, the only time we have such days is when we're in extreme poverty or trouble, when we're under great distress. We need to know what it is to seek God alone, to enter into the Holy of Holies, or Jesus talked about the prayer closet, where you and God are all alone. And picture, if you will, the priest going into that Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, under the Shekinah glory of God. And close the prayer books when you get in there, by the way. Close up your app. Close up your lists. Put away your grocery lists and talk to God in prayer. And there's a big difference between biblical praying and what we usually call praying in our lives. And I include myself, too. I'm saying I'm taking this journey, and I'm asking you to take the journey along with me. And when you meet God in that closet, in that holy place, in that place that's set aside, and I'm looking for, I already got 3 days marked in my calendar where I'm just going to go seek God somewhere. I like to do that from time to time. It's hard to do that, but at least once in a while, just disappear for a while or spend the night walking town or somewhere talking to the Lord in prayer. And when you go to those places, you come away knowing that you met with God. You come away knowing that something was real. And I'm not talking about an emotional high or convincing ourselves that what we believe or desire is going to happen. That's charismatic foolishness. But it's a renewed faith in God and God alone that comes from the Bible. And when we meet in that place, we come out and everything's different. In fact, if I'm not changed, I've missed something completely. I've really not met with God if I don't come out of that place different. And this is a place we ought to seek every day. And Moses came down from the mountain. He had that glow about him. And by the way, Moses didn't have to advertise that he's got that glow. People just saw it. People just said, we don't have to put on some kind of a show. People will know when you've been with God. And I'm longing for that holy flame, that touch of God, more than life itself. I'm desiring that, and I'm asking you to take this journey with me. I will say that anything we work up is nothing but wildfire. And we're good at working up a frenzy. This is the origin of religious rituals that we are used to in our world today, or emotional frenzies. And it's an interesting study to find out where those rituals came from. They realized somebody got a hold of God, and we can't get a hold of God like they can, but we can celebrate some kind of ritual. Where this, I don't know what the terminology is now. It seems like it changes month to month, the terms of Christian contemporary music or rock music. And I've tried to study the origin of rock music, and it's no coincidence that a lot of folks that started the country western and the rock music had their beginnings in churches, in places where they saw people get a hold of God. And they didn't know what it was to get a hold of God, but they saw that there was something real in their spirit. And it was expressed oftentimes by their music, so they learned to imitate that music without the Spirit of God. And we're no different when we try to seek some religious ritual or try to do something or read about a revival and say, boy, we're going to try to happen that. And one thing I do know about revivals, when God sends a revival, it's never like the one before. It's never just like it. We try to do things just like they did before, but they do always start in prayer and seeking God and letting Him be in control. Well, let's get to our outline here. And I'm not going to go through. You can follow through the model prayer here that Jesus is teaching on prayer if you want while we go through this. And you can see where the outline comes from. But this is just a simple little thing. And by the way, that little outline that we were given a couple of weeks ago at the conference I think there were 10 sections. They were different than these 10 sections, but there were 10 things as far as prayer. And then they had it broken down in time. And you could very easily see, we sing sometimes about sweet hour of prayer. When's the last time we spent an hour in prayer? In fact, if we spend 5 minutes in prayer, sometimes we're looking at, is it time yet? I can't believe that's only been 5 minutes. But when you really get a hold of God, an hour just goes by like that. And before long, you've been there 2 or 3 hours, and you're still not done. Not that we can do that every day. There ought to be seasons of prayer. There ought to be times that we set aside. This is my time for prayer, for seeking God. Now, we're going to have to cut some things out of lesser importance in our life if we're going to do that, which that's a big obstacle that a lot of people are not willing. That's a price that a lot of folks are not willing to pay. But first of all, Jesus said, when you pray, pray after this matter. First of all, pray our Father, which art in heaven. We're entering into His presence. This is worship. Or I like the good definition or wordplay on the word worship. This is bowing to His worship. When we come before Him, we're not approaching Him like He's our buddy. We're approaching the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Now, He is our friend. But when we approach Him, we realize He is the Creator, God. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46 says, we read that psalm earlier. We talk to, and by the way, and I know in our ritualism and our practice and our lessons on prayer, well, we're supposed to pray to the Father and we're supposed to pray through the Son and we're supposed to pray alongside of the Holy Spirit. Hey, we ought to pray to all three of them. Hello? We pray to our Father and we pray to Jesus. We pray to the Holy Spirit. And there are certain things and certain avenues, certain venues, if you will. And again, I could have a whole message on each one of these things that I have written down there. To be still and know that I am God, to come into His presence, and really to fully grasp this and to get all of this, it would take probably about 20 minutes just to open your prayer if you're getting a hold of God. Now, again, this is not something that you're going to have time to do every day. That's why I mentioned there ought to be seasons of prayer, holy days that are set aside to seek God in prayer. And by the way, traditionally, that used to be what Saturday was for. And then Sunday was a day for gathering together in God's house. That's a long time ago. They used to call, and I look at the old minutes of this church, and they talk about the Sabbath days, plural. On Saturday was a day of seeking God and reaching out to others. And then Sunday was a day when God's people gathered together. But now we've got a list of all the things that we've got to do on Saturday and all the things that we've got to do on Sunday. And it just amazes me how hundreds of things we have in our world today that are supposed to save us time, but we have no time for God. But we're saving a whole lot of time for what? I don't know. We just don't take the time, we don't make the time to seek God to approach the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God, the great three in one. And then we ought to take time to praise Him, our Father, which art in heaven. Let's praising God, praising Him first of all for who He is. Praise Him for His attributes. And by the way, what are some of the attributes of God? What do you mean by attributes? What are some of the attributes of God? In fact, I get in the habit of doing this. Pick one attribute and meditate on that one attribute all day. It'll blow your mind when you just think of one attribute. Just pick any one. What are some of the attributes of God? You can name all kinds. Amy? Holy. He's holy.
Omnipresent.
Boy, that's a big word for Brother Todd. That means he's everywhere at all times. What's another one?
Omniscient.
He's all-knowing. I was thinking of that one the other day. Wow, that's an amazing thing to think about. Think that every single thing about me. You know, and God showed me so many things that day. I was just thinking about God's omniscience. If you study science or chemistry, you know that an atom is made up of what particles? Electron and neutrons. But there's a third part they just recently discovered of an atom. Every atom. In fact, it's what holds everything together. And they couldn't tell that it was even there until fairly recently. You know what they call it? This is what pagan scientists call it this. You know what they call it? They call it the God particle. This is the part they just recently discovered it. God knows everything about even the smallest little atom. God knows everything about us. There is no secrets before Him. Sometimes we're foolish and think, well, God, you didn't see that, did you? God sees everything. God knows everything. And you think, in fact, that was a thing. If you get a book with a list of the attributes of God, it's not hard to find, not hard to think of them. That He's love, that He's pure, that He's gracious, that He's merciful, and all the things that God is and His attributes. Praise Him for those attributes. And again, you're not going to have time to praise Him for each one of them. Just pick one every day and meditate on it throughout the day. Take it with you. And then His names. What are some of the names of God?
Jehovah.
Jeffrey, did you say? No, he's the giraffe. No, I'm sorry. There are all kinds of names for God. Jehovah Shalom is the one I've been thinking about today. He is our what? Our peace. He is our peace. Those are compound names of God. The name El is just the name God. The name Elohim. And all those names are significant. And just pick one of those names and just talk to God. Praise the name of Jehovah. Praise the name of Elohim. Praise the name of Jehovah Jipha, Jeffrey. Jehovah Jipha. Jehovah Shalom. And all the different names of God. Praise Him for who He is. You know, that's what a hymn is. Most of what we call hymns are not hymns. Hymns are just about Him. They're just about Him. And most of what we call hymns in our... I call it a songbook on purpose because most of them are spiritual songs. They're not hymns. There's psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. A hymn is a song just about God, apart from us. And a psalm is a scripture put to music, and a spiritual song is a song of my experience. That's what most of what we call hymns are. We won't recognize many hymns because we're not in the habit of just praise Him for who He is. And then He said, "Thy kingdom come." Pray for His kingdom. Pray for the advancement of His kingdom. You know, when Jesus preached, when He came to this earth, He preached repentance. The kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? We won't get into all that now. A lot of things included in the kingdom of God. Pray for the advancement of God's kingdom, of God's workers. Pray for preachers and laborers in the gospel. This is where you could pray for missionaries. And by the way, if you went through all my list of preachers that I pray for regularly, all the list of missionaries that I pray for regularly, you'd take all day to get through all of them if you really prayed for them. Now, you could rattle off their names, but that's really not praying for them. Ask God to help you. You'd be surprised who he brings to your mind to help you in prayer. And then pray for your church, for the body that you belong to. And you know it's easy to find fault with everybody else, but pray that I would do the part of the body that God's put me in to the best of my ability and with his grace. And pray for that body, that church, that is the body of Christ in your community. Pray for rulers. God says that first of all, prayers should be made for kings and those in authority. Pray for national rulers, for community leaders. Pray for law enforcement. I just jotted some things down here. And pray for first responders. And pray for the moral climate of our day. Well, we live in a morally corrupt day, don't we? And pray that we can make a difference, that we can be a light. And you don't have to be real bright to shine bright in our moral corrupt society today. And pray for a spiritual hunger and a thirst. And oftentimes, and this is the thing that's maybe bothered me more than anything else as I've been seeking the Lord, that I've got a lot of friends that I could talk to them about worldly things, but when I turn it to spiritual things, all of a sudden they clam up or walk away. And pray for a spiritual hunger. And by the way, God can do that. God can create that hunger in a lost person's soul to desire him. If we're lifting him up and walking with him, and that light is shining in our life. And then number four, pray for his will. Thy will be done. For his will. What is his will? Where do we find his will? In this book right here. Pray for his will. Take some time to meditate on scripture that you've learned or scripture that you've read. Ask God to show you something from his word. Listen for his voice. You know, sometimes we need to just shut our mouth and listen to him when we pray. Prayer ought to be a two-way conversation. We get so used to, you know, some folks are uncomfortable when it's quiet. And they just got to rattle on. Blah, 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 and they just be quiet. And just listen. Just listen to God. And then we bring our request to him. Pray for yourself that I'd be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That I walk in humility. God, teach me to be humble. By the way, careful how you pray that. Because God will answer that prayer and make you very uncomfortable. Pray for your family members. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for those that need the Lord that you work alongside. Those are all your neighbors. Who is my neighbor? That's a silly question. And then number six, confession and repentance. Take time to confess and repent. And by the way, you ought to have a list of different sins. And when you look at the list of those sins, you'll see them in yourself every time. A sin, by the way, there's a difference between a sin and a trespass. And it's interesting to follow those two words through the Bible. And you'll see this very clearly when you follow them. And even in our text, if we go back and look at them again, our trespasses and our sins. A sin can only be committed against who? God. And sometimes when we say someone sinned against me, that's evidence that we think we're God. No one can sin against me. We only sin against God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, David said in the Psalm of Repentance. A trespass can be committed against God or against others. And I need to be careful when I confess my sin and my trespasses that I don't indict others. God, forgive me my bitterness and forgive them for making me bitter. You know, sometimes we're the accuser of the brethren. The devil's more our prayer partner than God himself. And ask God for his conviction. By the way, that's the first work of the Holy Spirit, is to convict us of sin. To ask him to convict us of sin. You say, well, I'm not sure what my sin is. Let me give you a little hint here. The sin that you see in others, the reason you see it in others is because that's the one you're most guilty of. There's a good motto right there. It's so easy to see the sins in other people, isn't it? But the reason we see it is because God's just pointing out to us, hey, look inside, buddy. There it is. And there's just, that's just That's for free, okay? You're not sure we're sinning. You ought to have a list of sins, and just go through that list, and I guarantee you, you're not going to get very far down that list before God's going to bring you under deep conviction. Confess our sins and forgive those that trespass against us as we forgive them. And then overcoming and forsaking. Overcoming and forsaking our sins. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Well, lead us not into temptation. Overcoming. God doesn't tempt us, James says. Every man is tempted when what? He's drawn away of his own lust. God doesn't tempt. God cannot tempt with sin. But oftentimes we blame God. And by the way, that temptation is not a sin, but when we desire that temptation, when we give it the second look, when we fall to that temptation, that's when it quickly becomes, that's when it immediately becomes a sin. Pray for spiritual, overcoming spiritual victory. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And there are so many things we could say about each one of these. And claim the promises of God. What's a promise that God gave you today in prayer that you claim? And then seek His grace. Grace is what? God doing in us and through us what's humanly impossible. Seek His grace. God, I need to do this. I need to climb that mountain. I can't get there. God, I need You to move that mountain. And then pray for deliverance. Pray for deliverance. Deliver us from evil. Plead for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Plead the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in His name. Deliverance from ourself. Deliverance from the devil. Deliverance from the world. Deliverance from others. We need deliverance from the darkness of this world. And then, and we're already out of time, but I need to at least mention the last ones. Prayer, thanksgiving. Thank God for what He gives us. Amen? And I'm more thankful for what He doesn't give me than what He gives me. I ought to be thankful. What did God do for me personally today? Boy, that list could be a long list if we think about it a little bit. Mr. God said, this is an outline for us to pray. And then last and not least, by any means, I just put it this way, take it with you. For thine be the power and the glory forever. Amen. Take it with you. Again, we say, well, we praise God. No, take something with you from that prayer closet. Take something with you. You're a new creature in Christ. God transformed something. Take it with you. Leave with the song. By the way, God gave me a song today. I almost want to sing it this morning, but I'm going to run out of time, and you're going to say, you're going to say, Alexa, be quiet. All right? Is that one? I'm going to say that when I start singing. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow. I've been praising God for His grace, for His amazing grace today. And God gives you a song. And by the way, there's the first evidence of walking in the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Take a song with you. Ask God for a song. And then when nobody's around, when you're in the shower, when you're out of range of anybody, you can sing it. Amen? Sing that song. And then what God's given to you, share it with someone. Hey, what did you get in your Bible time this morning? What did you get in your prayer time? What did God tell you today? Well, He told me that you're a no good for nothing rotten sinner. No, what did He tell you? You know, those kind of things we like to share with people. But what did God tell you in your prayer time today? Share it with someone. And again, this is just and I thought, man, I could spend so much time on each of these things, and I went longer than I wanted to, and just trying to give you a quick overview of all of it. But I'm asking you to seek God in prayer. We live in a day that desperately needs Christ. We've been given everything we need. But obviously things aren't getting from here to there. And the only way they can is when God's people fall on their faces before God. And that's what we need more than anything, is to seek God in prayer. And I don't know if I'm ready to enroll in kindergarten in the school of prayer yet. But I hope that we learn something in the school of prayer and seeking God. And I may just have a lesson on prayer tonight and on Wednesday night, because I want to see us do things different, to where Wednesday night is just not a habitual formality that we, blah, 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 done, amen, let's go on to something else, but a time when we truly seek God, so God can work among us. And that's a burden I've been carrying for some time, and asking God, God, teach me to pray. And I just decided I'm going to ask you to help me along this journey of prayer, because I need to know how to pray. You may know how to pray better than I do. I could sure use your help. I could sure use your understanding and your expertise. And I'm like the disciples, said, Lord, teach me how to pray. Father, teach us